April 5th, 2024 marked the fifth day of jury selection in the Chad Daybell trial. It was definitely a different kind of a day today in terms of expectations, which confused many people. And there were a lot of sidebars as well, not to mention a few jurors failing to appear. John tried to form some camaraderie with the juror and also disagreed with one of the prosecution's analogy. One juror also stood out regarding the death penalty, and even with all of this, it actually was a short day. I do daily recaps on jury selection and give you details and highlights about the day. I'll be covering the trial when that begins, and I have over 200 videos on the case covering deep dives, timelines, connecting dots, and theories. You can catch that in the description box below or at the end of this video. I'm Linda with It's a Crime, so now let's get into it. In day four, we ended the day with 52 jurors, and the expectation was only 50 was needed to be chosen in order to move on to the next phase. But they continued on yesterday. And this morning, we thought maybe since they had the needed number plus a couple, that they would continue on to that next phase, which is called the peremptory challenge. That's where attorneys can dismiss potential jurors without providing a specific reason. And this week, we've heard jurors be relieved or excused due to hardship, knowledge of the case, or certain thoughts on the death penalty, whereas this next stage is different. Each side has a limited number of these so-called challenges, although the number can vary, but they can't exclude jurors based on race or gender or other protected characteristics. So as of the end of the day yesterday, the number was at 52 jurors. And their goal is to whittle it down to 18 jurors with 12 official jurors and 6 alternates. But Judge Boyce brought in another round today, which was confusing at first for sure. And Nate Eaton from East Idaho News clarified and said that if there was an issue with anyone in the previous groups and jurors needed to be dismissed, the number would drop below 50, causing a problem before peremptory strikes. And so they continued on with voir dire. And right at the beginning, there were some notable moments. One juror was living in a different county, so that was a little bit of an oopsie, and they were excused. And two failed to appear to court today. And when that happens, they can be subjected to a $500 fine or up to 5 days in jail. Now, in yesterday's video, I brought up a motion that was announced that was an attempt to delay Chad's trial. And it was filed by a lawyer from Mountain Home, Idaho, but the details remain undisclosed. And a lawyer representing EastIdahoNews.com, along with the prosecution and the defense, also received it. Copied on this were Lori Vallow Daybell's former attorneys, which is interesting. But Judge Boyce sealed the motion and instructed the attorneys not to share its contents. Both sides requested that the court seal or strike the motion, and the judge temporarily sealed it, and we will have to wait to see if he unseals it or what happens with that. It's weird. I have no idea what that could be about. Do you? Let me know below. And in court today was, again, Tammy Daybell's aunt, Vicky. She did a victim impact statement at Lori's trial about Tammy, and it was very, very, very powerful.
Tammy was a most excellent person, and she led her life with the utmost dignity and was beloved not only by our family, but by the community at large. There will be a huge void, and this is Tammy's story, and therefore, it's part of our family history. This statement will not be about Lori. It will be about Tammy because it's her story. It's her life that was taken. She was a mom, a grandma, a daughter, a sister, a niece, a cousin, friend, and yes, she was a librarian. But more than a librarian, she was a teacher. She loved her job and went above and beyond for her students. Her last days filled with preparing a book fair for underserved children. I'm sure when she arrived home Friday, October 18th, 2019, She was very tired from a long day and the hours at school. As she got into bed that night, I would imagine she was thinking the same thing as every other night. Nothing more than getting a good night's sleep once her eldest had checked in from his late night job. She had no idea what the plan was for that night or what had been the plan for quite some time. Unbeknownst to her, there had been quite a bit of discussion about how to get rid of the obstacles that Lori had. Lori had already killed two of her children. Tammy was next on her list of obstacle removal. Lori wanted money, sex, and more power. And what Lori wants, Lori gets. The plan was in place on how to get it. Instead of a good night's sleep, Tammy was brutally executed in her own bed. She was taken from us by murdering thieves. Lori sits here, convicted and prepped for prison. And let's be honest, the only question left is for how long. But Tammy was robbed of her entire life. And all of her family robbed of ever seeing her again. Her life was snuffed out. To say heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, unbearable is not a big enough statement to convey knowing the way this most excellent existence was taken by planning and execution. The most innocent of lives was simply just discarded like it meant nothing, but it did. And like all of Lucille's grandchildren, her life was a vibe. It was a valiant and unreproachable life. Lori, you participated in the savage murders of precious people of great value and worth. For you to turn her home where she lived and slept into a cemetery, her two innocent and beautiful children, is one of the most horrific things I can think of. Tammy would have been horrified to know what you had done, and it has broken us as a family.
It is so horrific what happened to innocent people and children at the hands of these people. And in Vicky's statement, she mentioned about Tammy being horrified if she knew what happened and in her own backyard. Because you see, Tylee and JJ were buried in September and Tammy died in October of 2019. Now, notable, Tammy was at work when JJ and Tylee were buried, since they were both on Mondays and Tammy would be at work. And phone pings proved movement there on those mornings. And by the way, speaking of phone pings, there were several burner phones purchased by the gang. Alex, Lori, Chad, and I also believe, if I remember correctly, Melanie Pawlowski, who we all wonder why she's not in trouble either, or two. I did a video on all Lori's strategic flights, and guess who was with her on several occasions? And during the time when the children were gone and dead, not to mention she lived right next door. Why wouldn't an aunt wonder where her niece and nephew are at all? Also, Vicky mentioned Tammy's grandma Lucille in the clip I just showed you. Chad claimed that Lucille would come to Chad from beyond the veil and talk to him, and would do so every year. And Chad, in my opinion, would use this as a way to manipulate Tammy and really others. There was a story about Chad coming home and telling Tammy that her grandmother came to him and told him that she needed to stop playing a certain game, a computer game, and get to work on the family history. And there were a lot of manipulations made by Chad. Lori wasn't the only leader in the bunch. Chad matched Lori, just different in their approach, in my opinion. Now, notably, Chad wore a yellow tie today. That's new. Yesterday was his murderous red one. You don't wear red to your own murder trial. I'm just saying. So the jury selection started at 9 a.m. this morning at the Ada County Courthouse in Boise, Idaho, and it ended early. And the judge gave his thoughts and opinion to one of the jurors that was excused for hardship. He works for a large corporation and was worried about his job, and the judge said that he was disappointed in this large corporation and that he would think that such a corporation who said it was involved in trials or court hearings would help the juror out, ultimately, the juror was excused. Now, this was the first time I've heard Judge Boyce in this week have more of a personal opinion in the matter. Another juror was a teacher. She expressed that it would be a lot to prep someone else to take her place. And John's quote of the day was, "The most precious resource, which is our children." Indeed, John. And one juror had a very strong opinion about the death penalty. She said she will not vote for the death penalty, even if she was given instructions. And as the prosecution said, she has a deep moral conviction. And the juror feels that a higher burden of proof should be given for beyond reasonable doubt. Now, first up was Lindsay Blake. She gave her cheesy eggs analogy. I won't get into it because I talked about it this week. But one of the funny things about that is a juror was called upon and was smiling. And she said she relates to the analogy because she said, quote, "My dad makes the best cheesy eggs." That kind of lightened up the day. But John wasn't having any cheesy eggs analogy. He made it known. He talked about the recipe and what happens if all the ingredients aren't part of the recipe.
I want to talk a little bit about recipe. Liz Blake talked about cheesy eggs. I don't like cheesy eggs, okay? I'm sorry. I that's not my thing, okay? With all respect to the Upers and our friends in Wisconsin over there who put cheese on everything. And I mean everything.
That's correct.
Yeah. Miss Blake sort of drew an analogy between the charges and putting together a recipe. She said, well, if the state, you know, puts all the ingredients of the recipe together, are you going to...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Commit to proving him and judging him as being guilty. Well, I guess I want to ask you something, you know, a little differently. If the state doesn't mark off all the boxes in the recipe that they're claiming this is how this works, if they don't hit all the marks on the recipe, and they aren't able to prove one or two or three of the, it only needs one, right? We only need to mark off one item on the recipe. Does everybody agree that the verdict is going to be not guilty? Is there anybody who believes that it should be guilty? Raise your hand if you think it should be guilty if the state doesn't notch off all of their marks on the recipe. No one. So when Ms. Blake talks about a recipe and she's putting together her cheesy eggs in the next 10 weeks, she needs to take care of all of the items on the recipe, right? But the reality is that we're not talking about a recipe here. Because folks, this is a homicide. It's what Chad's being accused of. And really what it comes down to are facts. Facts and evidence, okay? Facts and evidence. And I'm going to bring that up again sometime in the future if you're off the jury. I'm going to talk to you about facts and evidence.
Now, Lindsay had another analogy about football, and she touched upon conspiracy and being in an agreement.
Does anyone here follow the NFL? I see one hand. So, juror 1635. You don't have to weigh in on how you felt about it, but Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year. In your opinion, should everyone on that team get a ring?
Yeah.
So when the team wins the Super Bowl, they all get a ring. Even the second string that maybe didn't play, coaches. And do you think that's fair for everyone to get the ring? So I appreciate that. And juror 1779, do you think everyone on the team should get a ring?
Yeah, I don't follow football very closely, but yeah, they're all a part of the team. Team should get one.
Because they were all part of it.
Right. They all help.
Thank you. And I bring that up because the judge has already touched on a jury instruction, or he's already given you a jury instruction today that touches on conspiracy. And he talked to you about a conspiracy being an agreement by two or more persons to commit a crime. He also talked about that you would not be to consider Lori Vallow or Alex Cox's guilt or innocence, or what may or may not have gone on in any cases they may or may not have. However, you will hear evidence of actions that are alleged to have been taken by Lori Vallow, Daybell, and by Alex Cox. So you're going to hear about that in the trial. And remember, a conspiracy, the judge has already started to instruct you on that, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime. An additional element will be that one of those persons, and just one, has to take an overt act, or they have to do something that would further that conspiracy. So something to move forward towards that crime.
And speaking of funny moments, I have an eye roll moment for you of the day when the defense attorney, John Pryor, was talking to a juror and he was talking about speculation and if the potential jurors knew what that meant. And he literally said, and I quote, "I had to Google what speculation means." He went on to talk about graphic pictures, and I'll have you take a look first about what he said, and then we'll talk about it.
And some of the evidence in this case deals with very graphic pictures. Very graphic, extremely disturbing pictures. And I've talked to some of the other groups about this. These graphic and disturbing pictures will hurt your heart. Does everybody understand what I mean by hurting your heart? And they will hurt your heart. They hurt my heart. I look at these pictures and it hurts my heart. But the reason for graphic pictures or sensationalizing something is to get a reaction from people. Would everybody agree with that? But the purpose of showing people these things is to try to gain some kind of a reaction. Is there anybody who disagrees with that? You disagree with that? Okay. You disagree with that? Okay. I'll get you. We'll go ahead. Juror number 1645.
I believe the reason for showing the pictures is
right.
That it's not for tourism.
Okay. I appreciate that. And then juror 1779.
Same.
To show evidence.
Yeah. If it's showing evidence.
Right.
It's evidence.
Right. But if it causes a reaction, and the reaction is that you're immediately going to put the blame or cause on Mr. David or Chad, is that fair?
The reaction doesn't necessarily mean that blame is there.
Okay.
The reaction is I'm reacting to the situation.
Right.
And the evidence presented. But again, to your point earlier on the recipe, you got to keep all of the boxes. Just because there's evidence there of one thing doesn't mean that there's a relationship there to build the recipe.
It's interesting here that he injected that the purpose of showing the graphic pictures is to gain a reaction. But one juror, and this was probably the highlight of my day, because the juror said, no, the purpose is to show evidence. It's to show evidence. And he said, if it's showing evidence, it's evidence. I absolutely loved that. If you watched and you saw that, let me know what you think below. And if you're new here, I'll love to hear your thoughts as well, because I love being in the community and answering back. Another notable potential juror was a man who was married for 43 years now. And earlier this week, I talked about another woman who was married for 41 or 42 years, and she was excused, but this gentleman passed through. He has been married for 43 years, and what I love about that is he talked about how he knows his wife very well. And John even said that his parents were married for a long time, and that it becomes like one when you're together for that long. And what I love about this, and the fact that he got passed through, is the fact that Chad and Tammy were married for 28 years when she was killed. And so with this juror, he knows what it's like to be in a committed marriage and for 43 years, and to see that a man for 28 years in a marriage potentially and allegedly did this to his wife. Wait until this juror sees what happened to the children. And one more notable moment was when John was talking to a potential juror, and he talked about, it was almost like a little bit of camaraderie, because he was talking about university and how he went to Michigan, and it was kind of like that, but he rambled on a little bit more than he should, no surprise, and have a listen.
Miss Blake talked about cheesy eggs and about planes and about raining and football, I guess, and to get an idea of your views and thoughts. And what's more important than anything else is that no one is wrong about their feelings or opinions. We all have different feelings. We all have different opinions. We all have different life experiences. Everybody agree with that? For instance, I want to make sure I get the number right, so I apologize for looking down, but juror number 84, he went to school in a very unique place.
Yes.
And I went to school south of there, in the southern end of that place. But what we do know about that is that the people up there have pretty strong views about a lot of things.
That's true.
And the other thing we know about that place in northern Michigan, right?
Correct.
And we have an expression for those of us who at least were educated in that state, myself and you. What do we call the people up in northern Michigan?
Ubers.
Ubers, right. And Ubers have a different idea about a lot of things, right?
That's correct.
Strongly religious people.
Generally.
Yes. They are very strong about their gun rights.
Yes.
They love the outdoors.
That's correct.
And they have got to, under all circumstances, those Ubers have got to love snow.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of snow up there.
It would be very difficult if you didn't.
Right. Because the snow comes in sometimes in October. And we're still skiing up there in April and May.
That's correct.
Right. But the idea is that they come from a different background and experiences. We all have different backgrounds and experiences. You understand that, right?
Yes.
And it's hard. I spent a lot of time up there in my summers. Okay? And I agreed with some of the things those folks did for. I disagreed with some of the things. But we all have different perspectives, right?
Correct.
And all of us have different perspectives as well. Does anybody not agree with that?
Now, like I said, there were quite a few sidebars today, and they even took remaining jurors aside to talk in private. That took another 40 minutes, and then they were back on the record. But all in all, out of this group, one was released and five were put through, which were two men and three women. It's been a really long week, but I think it's been a very fruitful one. I was pretty impressed, I guess, for lack of a better term, or word, of the jurors. And there were a few that had quite extensive knowledge of the case, in my opinion. I think it was interesting to see from the prosecution and the defense when they hear the reasons from the jurors of hardship or the media or the death penalty. Sometimes it was interesting that it was obvious what the reason was to let them go, but yet they chose something else to say. I did find that curious. I find the process interesting though, obviously. I'm watching this so you don't have to. Now, I also was surprised at the fact that I thought yesterday, day four, would have been the end of that phase of jury selection as we had 52, but we didn't. This morning we were expecting that peremptory challenge, but that didn't happen. And then there was all kinds of sidebars, and that was kind of strange. Quite a few of them. So I wonder what the heck was going on in court. I wish I was a fly on that wall. So Monday morning is when they're going to start up again, and Judge Boyce stated that it would be starting at 10 a.m. and they'll handle any other matters on Monday. I do wonder if it's that sealed motion that they will also talk about. Check here for more videos on jury selection and click here to see more on Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife. If Lori's brother Alex may have been there in the house the night she was murdered. See you in the next video.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.